Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 9 minutes after 7, welcome to Helpline 1548 on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company right up till 8:30 this morning. Coming up in today's Helpline program, we discuss a scenario of a family that's running a joint family business and they seem to be having some internal issues. To help us with the scenario, inshallah we'll be having a guest in a few moments, but first we play you the scenario, take a listen to that, and inshallah thereafter we introduce you to our guests.
Assalamu alaikum. My husband and I worked hard in our young days to put up a successful business, and shukr, today 24 years later, it's still flourishing. Currently, my husband and my 3 sons are working in the business. My eldest son is married with 2 kids. My second son is also married, however, he doesn't have any kids. My third son is a bachelor at the moment and will be settling down soon, inshallah. We are having endless issues with our sons. It's not fair for my husband to wake up early every morning to open the business, and on top of it, he stays there the whole day and closes the business and comes home last. My sons wake up late and come on their own time. They also meet all the expenses through our business income. They take holidays when they want to, and they take off when they want to. When we bring up this attention, they get angry. I don't know what to do anymore, as my husband is now 62 and he wants to retire, but he can't do so.
SMS Maulana Habib Bobat on 07-222-18384 or email hbobat@radioislam.co.za. That's hbobat@radioislam.co.za.
You've heard the sister's plight. She's saying it's not fair for my husband to wake up so early in the morning to open the business, and on top of it, he has to stay there till the business closes and come in the end. Subhanallah, this is the situation in many family businesses nowadays. Joining me now is the Honorable Mirza Yaver Beg, who is an international speaker, a coach, a trainer, and author specializing in global leadership, alhamdulillah. Brother Mirza Yaver, it's a pleasure having you on Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Marana, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you keeping this morning?
Alhamdulillah, all well, alhamdulillah.
A very interesting scenario, Brother Mirza. Family businesses are good, but how does one iron out all these nitty-gritty issues that the sister is talking about in the above scenario?
Yeah, I also heard the thing here, and also Marana Vedula Voja sent me the transcript of this. You know, Marana, I, as you probably are aware, there are 2 books of mine. One is called The Business of Family Business, and the other one is called Raising a Muslim Child. Both of those books are available in South Africa itself. The problem that the sister mentioned is a problem that starts in the nursery when the children are 1 and 2 years old. Unfortunately, parents don't do anything then. They wait until the children have children, and then they worry about it and they say, oh, you see, I have a problem. The problem is created by the parents. I'm sorry to sound very unsympathetic, but that is the reality of all of these situations. So right in the beginning is how you bring up those children. How does a so-called child who has 2 children of his own find it perfectly acceptable to let his old father go and open the business and close the business, and he takes holidays of his own and he does everything on his own, and he has no conscience? How does this happen? Please, I mean, you must tell the sister, please explain that to me first. How do you bring up children like this? Number two. The other side of the story, obviously we have only one side of the story, so ideally speaking we would have to listen to the other side of the story. My experience in many years, and that's how I've mentioned this in my book as well, a great responsibility lies also on the parents. Many of the older generation are control freaks. They will not give that key to the child, so-called child, to go open the shop. He will not trust his own son with the key of the shop. So he will go and do it not because of anything, because that's his internal. I know specific instances where there are friends of mine who have big businesses, and they will not give the key to the son. Then they say, Sheikh, you know, he has no responsibility, he has this, he has that. So one of them, I told them, you know, do me a favor, I said, adopt me as your son, because I said, you have got the ideal life. I mean, you're paying all the bills, I can take as many holidays as I want, I can come when I want, go when I want. Why would I want to change that? Tell me that. Why would I want to change that? I said, you are giving me an ideal life, man. I mean, that's beautiful. So let's continue. You know, why are you complaining? So this is the other issue. So parents also need to learn to let go. And as I said, this problem begins in the cradle. I mean, it literally begins in the cradle. But of course, I mean, now no point in talking about that. They have grown up. I think what they must do is sit down, have a family council, maybe get hold of somebody who everybody respects, you know, whoever is there, local imam, or alhamdulillah, in South Africa there is no short of ulama. Get somebody who they respect, sit them down with that person and write out a code of conduct for themselves going forward, and saying, this is what we will do, these are the duties and responsibilities, this is how things will work. I'm sure I don't even want to use the word children when the children have children. But I'm sure they also realize that their own personal well-being depends on the well-being of the business. You know, I always give this example. I say, if you, in the old days, you know, it's a gum and all that, you have your cow, right? So you say, well, you know, this cow, somebody's got to feed it, somebody has to clean the place where the cow is tied up in the night, somebody's got to wash the cow, somebody's got to give it grass, and somebody's got to draw the milk. Now, if everyone says, I will only draw the milk, I will not feed the cow, I will not take it for grazing, I will not wash the cow, I will not give it water, then at the end of the day, there is no milk. So the people have to understand that, you know, if you are drinking the milk of that cow, as long as the cow is alive and well, you drink. And when the cow drops dead, you are going to go hungry. So the business is, the well-being of the business is related directly to the well-being of the family. So I'm sure those children are old enough to understand that. So I think what they should do is sit them all down and then explain to them, like, this is a story. Now tell us going forward, what do you want? And then if it's an issue of the father, you know, being overly controlling, then he must give up that controlling habit. He must let the sons have responsibility, divide up the responsibility among the sons and say, this much is yours, this is yours, this is yours. I'm not saying divide up the business, I'm saying divide up the responsibility. And then give them each their responsibility. And alhamdulillah, they, you know, things will go on fine, but they have to sit down and face this thing and talk about it. And also accept the fact that it's not a one-sided thing. I mean, it didn't get like this overnight. I'm sure there will be things on both sides, and both sides will have a valid point, and therefore that must be respected. That's the reason why I'm saying it's a good idea to have a third party, because you don't want this to become into a, you know, some kind of slinging match or something. So you want to have a third party there, because also there is the parent and child relationship, and one cannot, you know, I mean, the father is the father no matter what, and he has to be respected. The mother is the mother, and so forth. So therefore, I think maintaining all the Islamic decorum of such a discussion, I think it's important to have a third party, third person present. Maybe Maulana can do it yourself, because alhamdulillah you are there, and then, you know, take it forward from there, inshallah.
Brother Yawad, you spoke about bringing up children, and you also spoke about control freaks. How does a parent that's listening at the moment build trust and faith in his own children?
You know, Maulana, this is a big one, because it's a very strange thing. I will send you that link. I just put down some thoughts. I call it the entrepreneurship killers. You see, what happens is that, you know, businesses, when they are started, like in this case, the sister said, you know, you start the business, at that time you have nothing, you take risk, you invest, you work very hard and so on. But as the business grows, now you have assets, you have, so people become very protective. And the risk taking stops, and they become very afraid that everything will just go down the drain. And also what happens is, unfortunately, the children they bring up, now I don't know which one works in this case, but in many cases what happens is that the children are not involved in the business from the beginning. So one scenario is children not involved in the business from the beginning, then later on they come in the business, and the parents or the father has the fear that the child will take wrong decisions and they will lose whatever assets they have. The second scenario is the children are in the business, but they just get taken for granted. So and that's also what happens. You know, they are not given a salary. There is no clear cut role that they have to play. So therefore, what happens is they are just taken for granted. When they want some money, they ask for money. They are given the money. If they need a car, somebody buy the father will buy them a car. they've got a car, and when he wants to get married, the parents will get him married. And so constantly there is this umbilical cord which is never cut, and that becomes a big problem later on. So I think it's what I have advised families, alhamdulillah, those who have followed it, they have benefited. What I advise them is, I say, give them first a good education. Ensure, and that does not mean an MBA. I mean, you need a good education, meaning a good education with some financial sense and some understanding of the business. Not necessarily, they don't necessarily have to get an MBA or whatever. Anyway, MBA is a useless degree anyway. So, I mean, I think that's very important, to get a good education. Second thing is, involve them in the business from day one. You know, come and sweep the shop, clean the shop, stack the shelves, open the door. There should be no job in the business that is beneath your dignity to do. You know, if the toilet needs to be cleaned, you must go clean it. So that is the training from day one, from the time the boy is old enough. Let him go to school, let him go to madrasa, then he comes back and goes to the shop. This must be an absolute routine. Let them do that. Give them time to go play and so on and so forth. But at least 1 hour, 2 hours a day, you have to spend in the shop. I think that is very, very important too. Third thing which I tell people is, once they finish their education, send them out, let them go and work for a global business, for a professional business outside your own. So for example, if you have a cash and carry business, then let your children go and work for, say, for example, Pick and Pay. Go and work for a big business which is run professionally, where your father is not the owner. So there they will learn discipline, they will learn rules and regulations, they will learn how to take instructions and all that, and they will learn all of this at somebody else's expense. So you don't have to worry about that. Let them go and work for Walmart, work for Pick and Pay, whoever, and then after working there, and I have said at least 5 years, give them 5 years, let them go 5 years, work there, then come back to your business, and you will find that you've got people who are responsible, who know what to do, and you can trust them. But finally, very importantly, the question that you ask, how can the father learn to trust? That is something that the father has to do. I mean, there is no, not even a how to that. It is a risk that you have to take. And I always tell people, I said, you are the one who trained that son. I mean, you don't tell me you have no faith in your own training. I mean, why would you not take a risk? No, seriously. I mean, if you train me and then I have to go and ask you, I mean, then why did you train me? You know, I mean, the whole point is that that faith people must have. If I train somebody, I must have enough faith to say, well, this guy, I trained him, so, you know, let him do it. And if he makes a mistake, I mean, it's not as if he can, you know, send the whole business down the drain at one shot. I mean, don't give him that kind of responsibility. But give him responsibility one by one slowly so that they learn.
Yes, interesting indeed. 22 minutes after 7, you are listening to the Helpline program on Radio Islam International. We are discussing family businesses and some of the issues around it. If you would like to share with us some of your experiences, some of the challenges that you are facing, give us a call on 011-854-1548. The SMS line 07-222-18384. There's an SMS coming, your brother Mirza. He says, I suggest he sells the business and then he can buy property and retire. Let me tell you, the minute he says he's going to sell the property, automatically everybody becomes responsible.
I think that's good advice.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, I don't recommend that because, end of the day, see, you run a business, you want the business to continue, you want the business to, you know, to grow and so on. So it's not, I wouldn't say, I mean, obviously you have an opportunity or you have an option to sell the business, no doubt about that, but ideally I would not say sell the business. What I would say is that certainly take out some of your capital. I mean, that's something that's sensible to do. Don't have everything sitting in the same business, because for other number of reasons, I mean, it's not necessarily only the business, but for a number of reasons, sometimes things can go wrong, and then you lose everything. So you don't want that. Safeguard yourself and take out some of your capital. But at the same time, I think one should focus on saying, how can we still grow the business well and make it happen.
Well, Mirza, you've worked with many people in the professional field. Tell me, what's the underline and what's the key factor that is to a successful business today in a family world?
I think the key factor, which I have called in my book, moving from being person-led to being process-driven. I think that is the whole, the key thing is that make the business process driven. Most family businesses are run purely as, you know, they're very person driven in the sense that if I'm there, it works. If I'm not there, it doesn't work. I mean, that's not good enough. That's the point I'm saying. It is not good enough. It is, you have to have a business where, whether you are there or not, the business must still function, the business must still run. So that is very important to do. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the main thing. I mean, in a line, that is what needs to be done. How to make the business process driven.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. 25 minutes after 7, we go for commercial break. When you come back, we continue. 29 minutes after 7, welcome back to the Helpline program on Radio Islam International. We are discussing family businesses and the issues surrounding the family businesses. On the line, we've got the Honorable Mirza Yavar Beg, who is an international speaker, a coach, a trainer, and author specializing in global leadership, alhamdulillah. Sheikh Yavar, an SMS coming through, it reads, what about mixing business with pleasure? I've got a son that sits and on the phone and speaks to his wife at least half an hour every day. How do I deal with this?
That is very good. Your son will have a very good and happy marriage. I think that half an hour is well worth spent.
Yeah.
I wouldn't object to that one, believe me.
Only the expenses. On whose cost?
It is linked to his own wife. And that is this man's daughter-in-law. I mean, why want them? I mean, these people sometimes, like, I think they get a bit too too stingy, you know.
Subhanallah.
Like tell him to charge the expenses to his somebody, to his wife's father.
Subhanallah. Asking you, let's get back to the scenario. A couple that would want their children to get involved in the business for the first time.
Yeah.
What matters should be clarified from the first day?
From the first day, Mala, the thing to clarify is, first of all, before you go anywhere there, I think what's important is throughout to help them understand the fact that the business, that they, the family, as a family, they need the business. They need the business to be healthy and profitable, not vice versa. If their business is sold to somebody else, the business will still be a good business, but they will lose out. So that's very important. Second thing is, from the first day, I think allocate duties. Who opens the shop, who goes where, who does what, allocate the duties between the children and the parents. And then what I suggest is, create a structure for the family itself, and then let the children grow into, from being employees to begin with, when they should be given a salary. This taking money out of the till must not be started at all.
Yeah.
Nobody can put their hand into the till. I think that's a very bad practice which happens in many family businesses. And you say, no, this is my business. There's no my business. You're working in the business, you get a salary, you live within that salary.
Mm.
Yeah, have terms and conditions. Yes, you can have a holiday, but you can't have it any day, anytime you want. You get 2 weeks per year, you get 15 days a year, you get 1 month in the year where you can go and have a holiday. You will get a certain amount of money for the holiday, that's it, period. You want to travel first class, you want to go to the Bahamas, no problem, but when you earn enough to do that, you can do that. Until that time, you know, you go to Kruger Park. So that be very, very, make it very clear that these are the terms and conditions for the business. Drop those contracts. Second thing is, what you do is help them over the years and say that if you work well and if you show a profit, and then they must also assess their performance. So every year, assess the performance. If they do well, then give them shares in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, well, here are this. So you, from being an employee, you become an employee shareholder,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you and make it very clear and make it very professional and say that if your performance is above this mark, then you will earn one share, two shares, whatever. If your performance falls below that mark, then you will not earn that share in that particular year. So the share does not come to you as a matter of right. Many people confuse the issues and they say, you see, after my father, I am entitled to this. You are entitled to that after your father, not when your father is alive. So forget that entitlement. Here you work. You work and you earn your share in the business. So make this very clear. Right from the beginning, if you have these rules and regulations, and I think it's important to put them down on paper. To say that, you know, this is what we will do. Things are fine, but the earlier you start, the better it is.
Mm.
I mean, some people are, you know, they are sort of go to extremes. I mean, I have a friend of mine who has a written contract even with his 8-year-old daughter. If she watches this TV program, this is what he will give her. So it's kind of, but I'm delighted it trains them to understand what is a contract and that you have to fulfill your side of the bargain and things. So it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important to right from the beginning delineate your duties, pay them salaries, terms and conditions of employment, and uniform rules across the board. So if you have a business in which your sons are there and plus you have employees, everyone the same rule must apply.
Mm-hmm.
It must not be that your sons have a different work, unless it's a specified working time. But if you say the working time, reporting time is 9 o'clock, then everybody has to come at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you are the son, it doesn't mean you come at any time you like. No. So I think that is very important to put down from the beginning.
Yeah, it's very interesting. 011-854-1548, 07-222-18384. Then you get the issue, Brother Yawar, of several brothers working in the same business under the same roof, and there's a question of seniority and then a question of experience. Sometimes the senior brother is senior, but he's not well experienced as the younger brother. Who is given the preference in the business then?
I think what you should do is give preference purely on the basis of number of years spent in the business, not how many years old. That would be normal in any business. I mean, people get seniority based on their work experience,
mm.
not on their how old they are.
Mm.
So just apply the same rule. Including, for example, if one of the brothers goes and works somewhere else for 5 years and then he comes back into your business. Now, in your business, he has 5 years less work experience, but you count that 5 years also because he went in order to learn how to work in the business. So you give him a credit for that. You don't let that be against it. But you give them purely on the basis of work experience. Now, normally, if all the brothers have been in the business from the beginning, then the older one obviously will also have more work experience, which is all for the better. But for in some cases, you have an older one who was not in the business. It's not necessary that he was doing anything wrong, but he was not in the business, may have been somewhere else or for whatever reason. But he comes back later, while the younger one has been in the business from day one, so he is senior. Well, he is senior. I mean, that he should be treated as senior. You don't necessarily have to have the older brother reporting to the younger brother, but at the same time, definitely he is senior. And that's how it should be. Ideally speaking, if you build in a professional enough atmosphere, then you will also not have a problem with the older one reporting to the younger one.
Mm-hmm.
But again, as I said, it all begins in the cradle. I mean, this is what people don't understand. Let me give an example. Many people probably have heard this also. They will see this. In your house when you have two or three younger children. When they are playing, so you say you have a 2-year-old, you have a 3-year-old, and you got a 4-year-old. Now you got one of them has a toy, the other one wants the toy. This one starts screaming. 9 times out of 10, the mother or the father will say, "Don't worry, leave it alone. I will get you your own." Now, what are you training them? You're training them that it's okay not to share, it's okay to fight. If you fight, if you scream loud enough, you're going to get your own toy. Now, translate that 25 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later to your business. That's exactly the same behavior that you are seeing in the boardroom, the same behavior that you encourage in the nursery. Nothing different. Here also he's screaming. Here he also is saying, "Where is my share of the business?" I mean, once when I was in South Africa, in one business family, somebody said, "Akhilyavar, I must have my share." I said, "Absolutely, I completely agree with you. I'm going to recommend to your dad, he must give you your share." So he was very happy. So I said, "Tell me, how much is your share?" He said, "I must get 25%. I said, no, hold on, let me explain to you. I said, "I'm asking you, how much is your share of building that business?"
Mm.
That much is your share that you can take out of the business.
Mm.
So now he got shocked. He said, I said, exactly, that is the point. The point is that your share of building the business is like 2% and you want 20% out of that business. It doesn't work like that, man.
Mm.
It doesn't work like that. So your share means how much did you put in building that business. If you didn't put it in, it's not your share. And then don't worry about this thing of inheritance. Inheritance is after your dad is dead. We are not talking about that. Alhamdulillah, man is alive and well. May Allah give him a long life. Today there is no inheritance. Today we are talking about your share, meaning how much effort did you put in to build that business. I think that is very important. From day one, you have to inculcate it. And then the problem happens only because of this. Parents don't pay attention to that when the children are growing up. They allow all these things. They don't see the implication of this. Every single thing that happens with the child is building the child's psychology. I think that is something they must never lose track of. You're building a certain psychology in the mind of the child, and believe me, one day that thing comes home to roost. Now, if it is a good psychology, good for you. If it is not good psychology, then that is going to haunt you for the rest of your life. And many times you feel sorry for the older people. The man spends all his life building a business. Now when he wants to retire, he's got a huge bundle of headaches. Yeah. Which he has to sort out. I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, it's not nice, but you know, my point is, well, nice or not nice. I don't like to be unkind, but you have to tell the guy, you know, you created it, so who's going to solve it?
Yeah, that is a problem. We've got a SMS that's coming through. It reads, "Assalamu alaikum. Manala, it's proven that today's generation want everything on a plate and does not want to do anything, and they do not appreciate, no matter how hard the parents work for it."
Well, you know, this business of saying this is proven is like many people say, it comes in the Quran. So you got to tell him, please give me the ayat reference. You know, where is it in the Quran? So I'm saying, where is it proven? Let me give one example. Facebook, Twitter, take these two, Facebook and Twitter. Facebook and Twitter today together are worth over $1 trillion, right? In the year 2000, they did not exist. So we are talking about a business which is 14 years old. So that is olden days or newer days, you know. So this is not true. Younger children want everything on a plate. Not true. Younger children today, their demands are different. I mean, there are younger children who want everything on the plate also. I'm not saying nobody is like that. But I'm saying that to make a general statement to say, this is proven, I don't accept. It is not proven. Younger people today are as hardworking, as responsible as our generation and our parents' generation. The only difference is that what moves them is different from what moves us. For most of us, for people in my generation and my parents' generation, what moved us was actual physical hunger, in the sense that we had no money, we were poor. I began my business with 3,000 rupees, Indian rupees, in my pocket. And that was my sum total net worth. I did not have one paisa more than that. Right? So my point is that today, many of the younger generation, especially younger children born into business families, they are not starting there. They are starting much higher up. Now, that does not mean that they have no enterprise, doesn't mean they have no creativity. They are highly creative, they are highly enterprising, but don't expect them to have the same kind of personal fear of poverty that you started with, because they don't have that fear of poverty. I mean, for that child to, especially if he's a South African, a Muslim business child, then for him a BMW is default setting, you know. So don't think that he's going to be greatly inspired with a BMW. He will not be. But the point is that for them, their aspirations are different. So you have to understand their psychology and give them those aspirations.
Yeah.
They will work very hard. I'm telling you, I know South African business families with young people, mashallah, huge business families. Many of them are clients of mine, very, very dear friends of mine as well, who have youngsters in those business families who work so hard, it is not funny. Their wives complain, my husband never comes home. Their husband is in his 20s, he is in his 30s, you know. So the thing is, there are people who are, but you know, they're brought up properly, they've been right from the beginning. Alhamdulillah, they work very hard, very responsible youngsters. I'm always delighted to meet them and to spend time with them. So it's not a general rule at all. One has to take it, you know, individually, family by family, person by person.
Another SMS reads here, "My son is ill-disciplined. He does not behave appropriately in the shop. He does whatever he feels like. I am intending to fire him, but I feel that we will lose him. What should I do?"
what he is saying is exactly what he has been doing all his life, which is he should first of all change that. He should not say my son is ill-disciplined. He must say I did not bring up my son properly. Take the responsibility where it belongs, number one. Number two, I intend to fire him, but I will lose him. That's exactly what they must have been doing all their lives. Every time there was a time for a hard decision, they did not take the hard decision and they kept on saying, well, you know, we will lose him. Well, if you lose him, you are going to be, according to your definition, you will lose a highly indisciplined son who is a pain in the neck. And why are you so fond? I mean, lose the pain in the neck. I mean, that's what you should do with pains in the neck, right?
Yeah.
You tell the guy, take the hard decision at least once in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throw him out, maybe he'll straighten himself out, bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Yeah.
But the reason he got that way is not, he wasn't born like that. You made him like that by not taking hard decisions from day one. Now at least do the right thing once.
Mm-hmm. 14 minutes to the hour of 8, you are listening to the Helpline program. We go for commercials. When we come back, inshallah, we continue.
Well, the father must take the son into confidence before giving these special privileges and so on. So there should not be any room for any misunderstanding. This was what is described in the SMS. Clearly, the son was probably not part of the decision making. He obviously does not agree. So therefore, I think that's, one must take him into confidence and ensure that that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting indeed. And when it comes to conflict resolution, what's the ideal way out in family?
The ideal way out for conflict resolution is two things. First of all, understand that what will work in the conflict depends on the relationship that you have built up before the conflict. So what happens outside the conflict affects what happens when there is a conflict. So ensure that the family relations are built properly. Ensure that families have conversations, that families are, they work together, they live together, they pray together. I'm saying live together doesn't necessarily mean the same house, but definitely the sense of, you know, being in contact. Second thing is, at the time of conflict resolution, always understand and remember that the usul, as far as parents and children are concerned, the adab, they remain intact. Just because you have a conflict with the father does not mean now that you overstep the boundaries of adab. So that's very important to understand that. Second, the third thing is that if necessary, call in a third party. Usually it is a good thing to have somebody else to, and then make that third party right in the beginning agree on a third party as a arbitrator in the event of a conflict. So whoever it is, somebody that all the parties trust, whether it's a family elder, whether it is somebody else, another family friend, whether it's a it's an alim or whoever, make sure that you nominate that person with that person's consent, obviously, and say that in case of any dispute, we will call upon so and so, and this person can help us to resolve the dispute. Have a third party, and then do the conflict resolution. Usually it works quite well, because especially if there's a third party involved, it keeps everybody on track.
Yes, indeed. And how do you separate personal life and professional life?
Again, the same thing. If you remember the first question that was there from the sister, as I said, delineate the work contract very clearly. These are the working hours. These are the holidays. These are the vacation. This is the salary. This is the vacation allowance. Delineate that right from the beginning. Give an actual employment contract like it is given in a professional company when you join. Give it from day one when your son or daughter walks into the business. Give them that employment contract. They sign, you sign, you put it in the safe. So be very clear about that from day one, so that people are very clear. These are the official times. These are the official duties. This is what I have to deliver. So later on, there is no conflict. Otherwise, the parents might be perfectly justified in insisting something. The children might be perfectly justified in doing what they are doing. But through the outsider, it looks like, something is going wrong. The other thing also, I think, is very important, that one must trust. One must learn to trust. See, for example, I'll give you a simple example. Now, your son or daughter may be sitting in a glass cubicle talking on the phone. Now, you pass by, maybe you're going to the toilet, you pass by, they were talking on the phone, when you came back, they were talking on the phone, and you say, what the hell, all the time, this person is spending only talking on the phone. Now, because of your suspicion, right? Now, for all you know, that person is talking to Ted Turner on the first time, he's talking to he's talking to Jack Welch on the second time. You know, he's making this $1 billion deal. He's taking over America or something. But you don't know that, right? So the point is that one must also trust and say that, Alhamdulillah, you know, I brought up my children well. They are responsible people. They will do the responsible thing. Leave them alone. You know, after a point, I think one must get out of this sort of this controlling thing also.
The SMS coming through, it reads, I feel my father is unfair towards me. This year, 2014, my brother got a higher increase than I got, even though I work harder than him.
Well, this work harder is a deceptive term sometimes. What must happen? Yeah, because you know, you may be working harder, but you're probably not doing the right thing, and there's no return.
Yeah.
So the point is that the route out of this is not an argument. The route out of this is right from the beginning. Create a performance management system. You know, right from the beginning, in the beginning of the year, sit down. Not only father and son, sit down with whoever is in the business, the employees or whoever. Set their targets and goals for the year, and then monitor them periodically, every month, every quarter, every half year. Get those reports and say who has produced what, how does it compare to what they were supposed to produce. At the end of the year, you will not have this kind of a conflict, because it's not an increase in a business. If it is a performance based increase, then by definition it is based on performance. It's not a matter of my father likes my brother more than me or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a personal gift. It's an issue of increase based on performance. Second thing is also what happens in businesses which are which are diversified. Now you might have a business which in one business although all the sons work for the same father or same family, but one of them is running a business which is a low margin business, another one is running a business which is a high margin business. So by definition, the one who is running a high margin business will always make more profit than the other one who runs a low margin business. But that low margin business is your bread and butter. It's a daily thing, you know, so all that. Now if you make them equal, then it's unfair, because the person who is running a low margin business, he is not showing a lower profit because he didn't work. That is how much profit there is in that business. So that, in that case, what I advise business families, I tell them set up a internal family fund.
Mm-hmm.
And out of this fund, you top up the earnings of the ones who are earning less because of the nature of their business. So that is important to do that. Don't top up the funds of somebody who is just lazy.
Yeah.
You top up the funds of somebody who is not earning as much, not for any fault of his, but because that business only yields that much of return.
Mm.
So you top that up so that there is no disparity between the brothers, and unnecessarily it creates ill feeling among brothers for no reason. So I think that is important. Keep a fund and then top up that so that everybody, I mean, they all have a comparable lifestyle and whatever else they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk more about succession planning. You know, we get many parents who want to retire from the business. Now the children assume that the business belongs to them, and now the parents are left in a predicament. How does one deal with this?
See, belonging and running are two different things.
Mm.
For example, my father might own an aircraft. That aircraft definitely also belongs to me because I am the son of the father, so I am also an owner of the aircraft.
Mm.
Now, because of that belonging, if I say I want to fly the plane, what will you tell me? You will tell me, do you have a pilot's license? Do you know how to fly a plane? I'm telling you, Marana, please, excuse me, I'm explaining to you. This plane belongs to me, alright? So I'm going to fly the plane. So what will you tell me? You will tell me, okay, no problem, you please go fly the plane. I will go make arrangement for your Salatul Janaza because you are going to kill yourself, alright? So when you are dead, then I have to bury you.
Yeah.
That is the reality of business. So it's the issue of becoming owners. The succession planning, that's the reason why it's very important. I always give the example of a plane because it's very graphic. You know, you have to train them from the beginning and then ease them into the business so that automatically they become successors.
Mm.
Second thing is the fathers also, the business owners, they must put an expiry date on themselves and say, I will be retiring on this day. Write it in your calendar and say, yeah, I say 20th of October to 2018, I am gone.
Yeah.
And therefore, get ready to that time. So ensure that you have a retirement date. You know, don't make it 99 years or something. I am retiring at 99. No, that doesn't work. You retire at whatever. You know, may not be 65. Okay, say 70 years, which is good. I mean, you also don't want to retire when you are in hospital. I mean, you want to retire while you can still enjoy some money. So, you know, you put a reasonable retirement date, and you say, well, I am retiring on such and such a time, and bring in the children from the beginning, and let them compete for that top position by giving them graduated responsibility and so on, and ensuring that there is good feeling between them. In this whole issue of competing for the top position, you don't want the brothers to be at each other's throats. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Because the whole idea, which is what I've also said in my book, the complexity is in growing the business while keeping the family together. Mm-hmm. I mean, breaking up the family is easy. I mean, that doesn't take, you know, you don't have to do anything. It breaks up by itself. That you should not allow. The complexity is, how can I grow the business while keeping the family together? You want the brothers and sisters to be together, to be, you know, work together, alhamdulillah, have sympathy for each other, and at the same time ensure that the best gets the top position, because that is good for the business. You want a good pilot for your plane. For the others, the safety lies, you know, sit back, relax, put on your seatbelt, enjoy your welcome drink, have a nice meal, go to sleep. That is good for you. Let the pilot fly the plane, because he knows what to do.
Yeah, they shouldn't produce a pilot like the MH370.
I know, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi
raji'un.
That's a tragedy, Marana. Allah knows best what happened to that thing.
Yeah.
Allah kareem.
Shaykh Yaver, your concluding and closing remarks before we let you go.
Marana, my concluding remarks is that family businesses, especially Muslim family businesses, absolutely critical that they must be run well, that they do well, that they prosper. We make dua for this, inshallah. Because a lot of, if not all, the Islamic work in our communities depends on the well-being of these family businesses, because these are the people who fund our madaris, who fund our masajis, who fund all the kind of the works of khair that is done in the community. So it is in the interest of all of us that the family businesses must do well, that they must prosper. And that is the reason why I think it's very important for business families to understand their overall role. Their role is not just in making money and buying more BMWs. Their role is in ensuring that they run good businesses, because this is good for their own dunya and their own akhirah, and it is good for all of us. So my concluding remarks is, we make dua for all the business families. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and give them great wealth, and allow them and the option and the permission to use that wealth for khair and for their own akhirah, and to let the businesses run well and go on hand them over well from generation to generation, inshallah.
Shaykh Yaver, jazakumullah for your contribution, much appreciated. It has been a fascinating and informative discussion indeed. Assalamu alaikum.
My pleasure.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.